Yeah, one is a shin and the other being a sin.
No, I'm saying the shoresh.
Oh, right. Yeah, no. So now we're on to the third part of Dash, right? It's been a little while. We had a little bit of a break, Hanukkah and the like. Maybe a little under the weather too, but Baruch Hashem, we are back. So when it comes to Dash, we talked about the Av Malacha, meaning the initial Malacha and its derivations, the Toldas. So we initially talked about Dash being the extraction from the wheat, and we defined it as extracting something, pulling it out from the husk or that which is it is within, which also applies to Chaliva, milking, and also applied to Mefarek, which was the idea of extracting anything from its shell, anything that was within its original klipa, its original husk or shell or the like. But there's an additional tolda, an additional derivation. It's not a derabana, it's a deraisa. It's a derivation of dash, which is called schita, the idea of squeezing. And the reason why it's a derivation is because the same way why we define mefarik and dash as the idea of extraction of something from that which is holding it in, so too when it comes to schita, you're trying to extract the juice from a fruit. Right? The juice is within each and every single fruit or the vegetable. And so the act of schita, the act of squeezing it, is actually an act of extraction. So today we're going to talk about this idea of what defines schita and which fruits are included within schita, within squeezing, and essentially what are we allowed to squeeze on Shabbos. The other way to look at this is also when we look at the idea of extraction. So before you extract it, it didn't really exist, meaning before you extracted it, it was a peanut, let's say, in a shell. Even though we talked about shelling peanuts at the table would be appropriate because that's not part of the field process, it's part of the eating process. But let's say husking something or the wheat. So before that, the wheat kernel existed, but it really didn't exist as a kernel, as something you're able to eat or use or use as part of a process. So when you extract something, essentially the language I saw is you're yotzer umolid davar chadash. You essentially are forming and creating something new, right? It's a very creative process. Not just creative as in actually forming something new, but when we talk about creative, very effective process on Shabbos. So it's a fascinating thing to think about when we talk about schita, the idea of squeezing, is actually bringing davar chadash, is bringing something new to the world. Because before now, this juice, it wasn't juice. It was just part of a food. It was part of a fruit.
Like juicing an orange.
Exactly. Before you juice it, no part of that do you call it juice. You call it an orange.
Right.
And within the orange are the small little pieces, I don't know the scientific names for each of these, those little things as a kid, you try to pull out like each individual little piece with the juice inside of it. You don't call that juice, you call that an orange. So before it's actually squeezed, the juice doesn't exist. And so when you extract it, it's a davar chadash, you're yotzer, you're creating something new. And this also applies, schita, by the way, on a deoraisa level, it applies to squeezing from sponges and fabrics. That we're not going to talk about. Today we're just going to be focusing on the schita, the extraction of the actual juice and the like from food. So let's see our questions, right? So number one, I have a sore throat and would like to drink hot water with lemon and honey on Shabbos. My mother swears by it. Forget tea. Honey, lemon, hot water. That's it. I know I can't squeeze lemon directly into the tea, but can I cut a lemon slice over the tea? Meaning I'll take the lemon, I'll cut the slice, and it'll fall in with whatever extra juice came from cutting it into the cup. What do we say about that? Well, can we take for granted I'm not allowed to squeeze the lemon into my tea?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We're taking that for granted.
Yeah, because there's jokes about holding the lemon so tightly that you end up squeezing.
Right. Okay, good. Right. So can I cut it over the tea? That's the question. Right. Now, by the way.
The question really is, are you allowed to cut a lemon on chunks?
Right.
Because once you cut it, you're essentially just dropping it into the tea.
Well, I think what this person had in mind when they were asking was because, as like, what's the chap? And I realized because what they're trying to do is saying, I'm not really squeezing, I'm just cutting. And the slice will fall in, but through cutting, we all know when you cut something, there's a few extra drops. So I'm not allowed to squeeze the lemon into it, but maybe just the process of cutting, maybe it's okay. Right? I think that's the question.
So do they want the slice or?
I think they want both.
Because if they want the other piece, then it's Eucratia.
Oh, okay, good. So you're getting to the world of the inevitable, meaning if the whole purpose is, really I want the slice, but I want the juice. So if I'm cutting it And this is my way of, you know, hopping the system to be able to get that juice. So that's an inevitable result of squeezing. I like your thought process. I was thinking something very similar, but we'll get back to it. Yeah, very good. Okay, number...
Seek ratio.
The idea when we... The inevitable result of when you cut off the head from the chicken, right? Okay, the second question. I will admit this is a question my wife and I have spoken about a lot. Definitely early in marriage. My wife doesn't like extra oil in food to the point that she'll often dab some off. Is she allowed to use a napkin to press out excess oil from schnitzel on Shabbos? Right? Sometimes you can have really oily food. Latkes, Hanukkah, we just left Hanukkah, right? On Shabbos, can you take something and essentially squeeze out the oil, the excess oil, you know, dab it, get it out, and then eat it? You just don't want the extra oil. Is that okay on Shabbos?
Is this a similar question to, can you take a paper towel, get it wet, and then wipe down the table? And by wiping it down, you're pushing and the water from the paper towel is going out.
So it would be a similar question, but I can think of one difference. And over there, when you put water into a paper towel, you specifically would like that water to now be taken out to be able to clean. Mm-hmm. Here you're actually doing the opposite. You don't want this oil. You're trying to get it out to discard it, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference I would draw here.
So you're not squeezing here. You're just absorbing, right?
By pushing down,
you're extracting any oil that's at least on surface level, perhaps even a little bit more than surface level, depending on how much you push.
It's a Shabbos version of the people who do the pizza.
Yeah. Right, exactly, the pizza, right. Well, the pizza, that is much more... just surface, right? That's not squeezing. I'm thinking like schnitzel where you press it down, you know, maybe you've never done such a thing, so.
I thought for, you know, cleaning the spill, you can put the paper towel or cloth and just pat, but
yes.
You're not allowed to wipe.
Correct. That's why I was saying about David's comparison. I was saying the difference is over there, it's not allowed because you put water in it and now you're wiping with it because you'd like that water to come out. So that is squeezing. Whereas over here, you don't want this oil. You're just trying to extract it to get rid of it. So does that matter? Does that make a difference? Right? Okay. That's the question on the table. We'll come back to this distinction at the end. So let's talk about squeezing. We'll start like this. We're going to talk about the fruits and vegetables that are a problem to squeeze on Shabbos. And then we will move on to like oily foods or pickled foods and extracting the extra liquid from them. And then at the end, we'll talk about mashkim shezavu, which is just juice that came out while you were cutting fruits and the like, and what can you do with that? So let's first talk about the different levels of fruits when it comes to squeezing on Shabbos. So there's multiple Gemaras around Shabbos on Kuf Mem Dalad, Kuf Mem Hey, around those pages. But the Rambam really puts in a very, formulates it very easily and nicely for us. So in source one, the Rambam says as follows, Mefarek chai mishum dash. Extraction is, one is liable for dash, right? For the idea of threshing. Extraction. Vasoche zesim vanavim, chayv mishum mefarik. And therefore, one who squeezes out oil or olives, one who squeezes olives or grapes, is liable because of extraction. You're squeezing, you're taking out the juice. Meaning, chayv deoraisa, meaning from the Torah level. Lefikach oser lischet tutim verimonim, holil umixas bnei adam, sochtin mosam kezesim vanavim. Shema yava lischot zesim vanavim. And therefore, we understand that squeezing olives and grapes is for sure a problem from the Torah, and therefore it's also forbidden to squeeze pomegranates and strawberries, because since some people usually squeeze those for their juices, just like one squeezes for grape juice or olive oil, then perhaps someone will then come to squeeze olives and grapes. Meaning grapes and olives are for sure forbidden midoraisa from the Torah, and anything that might be somewhat common to be juiced. So if we start allowing juicing of everything on Shabbos, so a person will just come to juice anything, including grapes at that point. So they had to put a fence and say, therefore, something that people sometimes juice, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos.
So oranges are prohibited rabbinically. But
interesting. So yes, rabbinically, we'll have to understand why are olives and grapes forbidden. And maybe we'll have to see, is it different nowadays where we actually, it's so common to juice things, but good point. So we have two levels. One level is olives and grapes. Those are midoraisa. Those are the worst. The next level is things which are pretty common or some people actually juice them. Aval sharpeiros, but other things, other fruits or vegetables, kagon, prishim, v'tapuchim, v'ozradim, mutter l'sochtam b'shabbos, v'nation einam b'nei schita. But other fruits like quinces, apples, I guess crab apples, interesting. So those you're allowed to squeeze on Shabbos because they're not normally juiced. And so therefore, it would be abnormal. That's not going to lead to the juicing of something else. A better example would be like melons or something like that. Something that's abnormal to juice. So that's okay to juice on Shabbos. So we have three levels. Olives and grapes. Other things which are somewhat normally juiced. And other things that are not juiced at all. Those are our three levels. So why did the Torah, or when the Gemara expounds on this, why is it what's the problem when it comes to olives and grapes? What's the reason that that's forbidden midaraisa? So there are two different thought processes, two different reasons brought down. One reason is brought down because the main purpose of olives and grapes is to be juiced. It's the derech, it's the normal way. And since it's the normal way to juice those, that becomes pure extraction from the Torah. The other reason is because that the Torah considers olives and grapes as what comes out of them as a real juice, as a real liquid. There are seven liquids from the Torah, and those are two of them. And so somehow their status of what comes out of them is such an important liquid that therefore we treat that as extraction of a liquid. But anything else, no. Now, what's the difference between these two answers? Other fruits that become very, very common to juice nowadays. If the reason why it's forbidden on a Torah level, midoraisa, to juice olives and grapes is because it's so common, that's the main thing that you do with them. So what about all the different things that we juice nowadays that it's so common now, like oranges? One of the main purposes of oranges is to juice.
But olives and grapes, you have more value in the juice than you do in the fruit itself.
So it's interesting that it almost goes into the other reason, which the Torah, which we're saying is because their liquids are mashka. Their liquids are these important liquids. So that's one reason brought down. The Ran brings that down. But Rashi and most other commentaries explain the reason why we treat olives and grapes as the Deoraisa extraction, squeezing, schita, is because it's really common. That's the normal way. So if that's the thought process, maybe it should come out that so many of the things that we squeeze nowadays, those should also be d'oraisa, right? If the reason why it's d'oraisa is because it's so common, that's the derech, that's the normal way, that's the normal process with these fruits. So it would sound like oranges should be d'oraisa. Such a thought process is brought down. Halach l'maisa, we assume that all the things that we're so used to juicing nowadays, they stay d'rabbanan. I think because, again, your argument over there, which is there's another reason why the Torah treats olives and grapes as the schita d'oraisa, because something about their liquid is so important, so special. And I like what you're saying also, because the nature of their liquid is actually much more lucrative than the actual fruits themselves. But either way, on the d'oraisa level, and it's going to matter, grapes and olives, forbidden. Anything which is common to juice is forbidden midorabanan. Now, what's common? Right? What do we mean by common? So basically, whatever's normal. Okay, but what's normal to juice? Nowadays, you go into Trader Joe's, and if we're going based on Trader Joe's, there's a lot of things you juice, okay? So what's normal? I'll admit, I shop at Trader Joe's. I can't call myself normal, nor can I call anyone else who shops there normal, but it's a great place. Whole Foods, is that what counts as normal of juicing? Nowadays, people juice anything and everything out there, right?
If it's a giant,
it's normal. There you go. That's our Hagdara, right? The Gemara says so. So the Mishnah Brura, the Ber Halacha, it's brought down in Halacha that if it's something that's normally done and it's done in a number of places, so it's forbidden everywhere. So most fruits that we can think of are pretty normal to juice, right? Melons are probably not normal to juice. Kumquats are probably not normal to juice. I'm just throwing that out there.
Avocado,
right. Well, I don't think you can juice an avocado anyway. Maybe. I've never tried it with a juicer. But probably nowadays, I don't know how much juice you could really get out of a carrot on Shabbos on your own, but carrots, apples, certainly normative fruits, those are a derabanan to squeeze on Shabbos, right? Because nowadays we squeeze everything. I mean, there's mamish juice, everything, which is fantastic. Now it's fantastic for Hilchos Shabbos now. So there are a few, you know, very few fruits that go into that third category of they're never juiced, it's not normal at all, and therefore it's okay to juice them on Shabbos. So I guess if you want to juice a lemon, not a lemon, we'll get to a lemon in a second. If you'd like to juice a melon, okay, you know, enjoy it. And you can juice a lemon on Shabbos. No one juices lemons. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but or maybe I'll go to Trader Joe's this week and I'll have to tell you I saw a melon juice, but I haven't seen that yet. But most fruits are derabanan then to juice on Shabbos. So we have to figure out how am I allowed to squeeze it onto salads and the like. Now, what really comes up is lemons. So how do you treat a lemon? Are lemons something that's common to squeeze and therefore should be forbidden derabanan to squeeze on Shabbos? Or, well, no one really drinks lemon juice on its own, right? So how do you treat a lemon?
It's normal to juice a lemon, but not to drink it straight. So it's still normal to juice a lemon to add to other things.
Yeah. Right, to add to other things. Good, good. So the Rosh brought down that it's okay to juice lemons. Okay. Now, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rosh and says, what are you talking about? Everyone juices lemons nowadays. And then the Beis Yosef gives a lemonade recipe. He literally writes how a person makes lemonade in Egypt. Apparently, the lemonade was a common and enjoyable form of drink in Egypt during his time. So he gives a whole recipe and he says, what are you talking about? You can't squeeze a lemon. It's for sure common to squeeze it. So he gives two answers of why maybe it was okay and why they were allowing it back then. One, because when you squeeze it, you never squeeze it to drink on its own. And when we talked about the idea of squeezing the extraction, it's extracting a juice to enjoy the juice itself. So perhaps the fact that you only ever juice it to mix it with something else, that's not derabanan. One second. And his other option is to say, even when you do squeeze it, you always squeeze it into something or onto something. For example, they would squeeze it directly into sugar and then mix it with another liquid. So maybe when we talk about extraction, pure extraction to be forbidden has to be that you're extracting it into itself or, you know, and nothing else there, not into anything else. So those are the arguments he gives. Now, it happens to be today. Today, I think we all understand squeezing lemons is very, very common. And however the process is, whether it's squeezing on its own, whether it's squeezing into something else or however it's done, we treat a lemon like sharp peros, like other peros, like other fruits that are forbidden midrabanan to squeeze on Shabbos. I think it's beyond normative nowadays. If it was normal in Egypt, it's for sure even more normal today, right? Okay, yeah, sorry, you had a question?
Would it make a difference if it's into something versus on example, on fish?
Yes.
You still see the lemon juice.
Yes, yes. So this middle category, right, we have three categories. That which is forbidden midoraisa, the olives and the grapes. Then we have this middle category of most fruits nowadays, which are forbidden midrabanan. And then we have the third category of fruits that are totally okay. So this middle category has a heter, has an allowance of squeezing onto food. So let's understand that for a second. Let's see what that means and how that actually plays out. So in source 2, the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Sochei Adam Eshkol Shal Anavim L'Seich HaKedera, that a person could squeeze grapes into a pot with food. But not into a bowl without anything. The implication is that whenever you squeeze a liquid from food into food, we treat that liquid as food. Now what that means is kind of what we started off to begin with. When I have an orange and I squeeze an orange, so I squeeze liquid and all of a sudden I have orange juice that is collected in a bowl. Before I squeezed it, I didn't have juice, right? Nowhere in that orange did we say there was orange juice. There were little pieces that hold the juice, but it wasn't juice. So the thought process is when I squeeze it and extract it and extract the juice and it comes out on its own and I collect it on its own, so I just created something new. I created juice. But if I take something that is a food, it's a fruit, and I extract that juice, but it goes straight into food, it never really existed as a juice. It went from a food because it never really existed, and it went into a food, And it is now, so to say, batal, nullified. It exists only as a solid food now. It never really had a status or existed as a juice, so to say. So we don't view that as an extraction of juice. We just view that as taking orange and putting into food into food. That's the thought process when it comes to the Gemara. And the truth is that would seemingly mean that we could do that with anything. We could do that with any fruit out there, even grapes and olives. Now the Gemara does, and we do conclude that we don't hold of that by grapes and olives, but we hold of that by all the other derabanan fruits, by all those other middle category fruits that are normal to squeeze, but forbidden midirabanan, we allow squeezing them directly onto a solid food or into a solid food. There is an opinion, Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that, nope, not okay, the conclusion of the Gemara, that it's not okay somewhere else. So therefore, it's good to be machmir, but when we say it's good to be machmir, it means about olives and grapes. So we don't squeeze olives and grapes onto solid food. But other things we hold like this Gemara. We hold that, yes, it's okay to squeeze those onto solid foods. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, written by the Alter Rebbe, the founder of Chabad Hasidus, so he actually has a Shulchan Aruch of his own. It's fantastic. The Mishnah Berurah actually, interestingly, quotes it all the time. All the time. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav explains there's two ways one might squeeze from fruit into food. Sometimes it's coming there to actually, be metaking the food, like fix it. It's an ingredient that really, brings out the food. So I would say something like squeezing a lemon onto salmon, right? It's not part of the ingredients. You're not trying to eat lemon with fish. It's fish, with a little lemon juice to add to the flavor. So if that's the case, I think the way he puts it is it doesn't really need to be absorbed. As long as it's not the main thing that you're eating, it's just part of the food, so it doesn't need to be absorbed. So you can squeeze it on, and it goes onto the fish or the chicken, and then you can eat it. Again, it's onto the salad. But let's say I have something that it's really part of the whole dish, like I'm trying to eat...
Like olive spread on bread.
Well, I'm trying to think what would be the squeezing. I'm trying to think of a...
You're spreading an olive spread onto bread.
Oh, but that's not squeezing because that's already been ground and anything that's coming out of that has already been squeezed, so to say. I'm trying to think of another example. Like, let's say part of the... Let's say a fruit bowl. And part of my fruit bowl calls to have a good amount of orange juice in it. So to squeeze the orange juice into that, so it would have to make sure... You'd have to make sure it's really mixed in in order for that to be okay. It comes up a lot with salads, right? If a person wants lemon juice, they don't have any lemon juice that they squeeze before Shabbos or in the bottle. So how do you do that? So lachar, you can squeeze the lemon onto the salad because again, yeah, some of it will pull at the bottom, but the whole point is you're just trying to eat it with the salad. It's trying to give flavor. And you're certainly not drinking that lemon juice at the bottom afterwards. If you do, I won't judge, but I think that's the thought process. So anytime you're squeezing these middle category fruits onto a salad, so that's appropriate because we just view it as the food into food, and it was never really a liquid that you're extracting in and of itself. I think that probably answers your question, right? So I don't know so many recipes as far as squeezing. All I can think of is really lemon. Now, to squeeze, forget just squeezing it into its own bowl, but to squeeze it into a liquid wouldn't be okay. Because when I squeeze it from an orange and the liquid that comes out doesn't go into food, it goes into a liquid. So it's now I'm looking at it as a liquid. It has to go from food to food to be considered not an extraction of a liquid. But if I'm extracting a liquid and it goes directly into a liquid, that's not food. That's not solid food. That's clearly a liquid now. So that we would look at as schita, as extraction. So to squeeze a lemon over a tea, okay. Right, to squeeze lemon into water or to squeeze lemon into a tea, so that's not okay anymore because it's not a solid into a solid. It's not food into food, right? You can't say, I skipped that middle process. It was just food into food. No, it's food into a liquid. And what's the difference between just collecting it, the little lemon juice at the bottom here, versus it poured into water and you, okay, see, it's water with some lemon juice. The point is, it was a liquid. So that one has to be careful. The only time it's okay to extract, to squeeze these middle category fruits or vegetables is if it's going directly onto a salad and it mixes in or it's part of the dish. Okay, so that is the different categories and different levels of fruits and squeezing on Shabbos. So now what about oily or pickled foods? So in the case of oil, in the case of pickled vegetables, so first of all, the liquid is not inherent to the food itself, right? Meaning often the oil has been cooked in. The oil didn't start in the chicken. The pickles, it's been soaking in a juice and took in the brine. It's not inherent to the actual pickles, right? So how do we view that? If a person has a pickle and they want to squeeze out the excess juice, or if a person has, I don't know, that's the case brought down in the Gemara. I guess their pickles were much more saturated with liquid. I'm not really sure as far as pickling goes if there's anything that nowadays a person would want to desaturate, so to say, to squeeze out the excess liquid. I'm not sure. Maybe, but
a block of tofu.
A block of tofu. Oh, fascinating. Yes, a block of tofu is a great example. A block of tofu is saturated with water, and so you're not really going to cook it on Shabbos. I think we talked about that when we talked about Bishul. To then throw it on a hot plate would be an issue because I don't know if it's been fully cooked before. Maybe I forget how we came out with tofu. We have to look into it again if it's been cooked. But whatever it is, let's say you want to desaturate your tofu for whatever reason, you're not going to cook it, you're just going to eat it raw, crumbled over a salad. So is squeezing out the excess liquid a problem now? It's not inherent to the food itself, but it's still an extraction of a liquid. So how do we view that?
So is this fruit only, or would it, like, if you cut into a hamburger and juice comes out?
So each of those, right, I hear what you're saying, right. So over there, that's just happening. It's not an extraction, right? When you're cutting fruit or cutting anything, except for olives and what we'll talk about this in a second, just liquid coming out on its own. But in general, liquid coming out on its own is fine. We're talking about the pure extraction with the intention to extract it, right? When I cut a burger, the intention is not for the whatever juice comes out. That's totally fine. Here we're talking about a tofu piece where you really want to get out the liquid, or you're talking about an oily piece of chicken that you'd like to extract some of the oil before you actually eat the chicken, right? It's a different discussion. So the Gemara in Source 3 addresses this very question. And the Gemara in Source 3 says as follows. Gufa, right? The Gemara brings down. Kevashim shesachtan. If you have pickled vegetables that you squeezed. Amar Rav, Rav says, Legufan mutter, you're allowed to squeeze them for the purpose of making them more enjoyable for yourself. You're not trying to extract the liquid for the liquid. You're trying to just squeeze it out because you want to enjoy the food. Lemimehem pater. But if you're squeezing it out to keep the liquid itself, it's pater of all usr, meaning you're not allowed to do that. So if I have a pickle and I somehow want that brine, to squeeze it out for the brine, that's not okay because that's extracting the liquid for the purpose of the liquid. But to squeeze out the brine because I just don't want a saturated pickle, that's okay because I'm just going to eat the pickle and the brine, forget about it. Ushlakos, and cooked vegetables that have taken in a lot of liquid. I would liken this maybe to a tofu case, right? It's been saturated with liquid. Bein legufam, bein lememehem, mutter. But when it comes to other cooked vegetables, so it's okay to extract. Ushmul amar echadzev echadzev legufam mutter lememehem pater aval aser. And Shmuel says, no matter what we're talking about, whether it's cooked, whether it's pickled or the like, even though the liquid wasn't initially in there, it was cooked in. However it is, if you're trying to extract it for the purpose of the food itself, to make the food more edible, to make the food more enjoyable, whatever reason you're doing it, that's okay. But to extract it for the purposes of collecting the liquid, that's not okay. Because that's an extraction. There's a few reasons brought down. Well, what's the distinction, right? We didn't bring this distinction down by fruits, right? If I want to squeeze an orange because I want less juice in there, so am I allowed to do that? Seemingly not. So what's the difference? The difference over here is, first of all, these liquids aren't inherent to the foods themselves. that essentially they've been cooked in. So maybe it's not a pure extraction, because extraction that we've been talking about until now is taking something from that which it grew in, that which was natural, right? That's one reason. The other reason over here is when you squeeze something for the purpose of the food itself and not to collect the juice, so it's li'ibud, it's going for a loss. I don't care about the result. And when I don't care about the extraction, we don't call that extraction anymore. Right? It's not even a psik resha. See, psik resha is when I do something and then there's an unintended result. Over here, if the whole purpose of a malacha is to extract something, to create something, a davar chadash, to create a new item, to create a liquid from a food, but I'm discarding the liquid, I'm throwing out the liquid matters nothing to me. So we wouldn't call that extraction. Very similar when we talked about milking, when we talked about even nursing. So if the nursing, if the milk goes directly to the garbage, it's not extraction anymore. It's just, well, taking something out, but it's not extraction of something edible, right? So because of that, when it comes to these saturated foods, so to take it out and it goes to loss, I'm not collecting it, I'm just trying to eat the food, that would be appropriate. The difference is maybe if a person is extracting the brine from a pickle, they shouldn't squeeze it directly back into the pickle jar, because then you are getting some benefit from that. Essentially, you're collecting it. So, and the same thing with the oil. If you're extracting the oil from your chicken, better not squeeze out the oil to save it for your Hanukkah menorah. No, okay, whatever it is.
Schmaltz.
Okay, good. So you don't collect it for schmaltz. The point is, if you're pressing it out, trying to remove the oil, so throw out the napkin afterwards. Don't use that oil.
Is there any distinction here, like where it's like when it comes to borer, you know, taking the good versus taking the bad?
Right.
You're essentially
taking the bad. Right. So that's a great question. It's brought down. Why is that? Why is what we're talking about not borer? Right. It should be called separation. The answer is because oil and the chicken, they're all really one entity. You're not really separating two things. Once the oil's been cooked into it, it's all just one dish. It's one food. Mm-hmm. So I'm just removing part of them, essentially. That's the way they say it. It would be like having, I'm just trying to think. Borer is only applicable when you have two separate things together and you're removing one for the other. When something's been cooked together completely and it's totally saturated in that and you don't even see it. Mm-hmm. So extracting is just extracting from the food itself. It's not borer. I think that's the best way without going into all the world of borer.
So when serving gribinets, I'm allowed to use a slotted spoon?
I'm sorry, what is that?
So when serving gribinets,
What is that?
Gribin. Chicken skins?
Okay, so
it's fried chicken skins.
Fried chicken skins. No, so over there you can clear, meaning the chicken skin and the oil are clearly two separate entities together at the same time. It's sitting in a liquid.
But I thought that you're not allowed to use a slotted spoon.
You're not,
okay.
Because over there it's clearly two separate entities. When we talk about the oily chicken, the oil is in the chicken. It's all one item. So the fact that I'm removing it is not borer, it's just I'm taking away. It would be as if I'm cutting off a piece of the chicken with the oil type of thing. Again, not getting into the word of borer, but I think that's the simplest way to say it at this point.
How about washed lettuce? So there's still some water adhering to it, and you want to get the water off, but by getting the water off, you're taking off something that's actually kind of separated from the lettuce. It's not like intrinsically bound into it.
Right. I guess the question is, do we look at that as a tarovis? In order for borer, just briefly, in order for to be an issue of separation, you first have to know, do you have something that's mixed together? So is a little water on the surface of something looked as a tarovis, looked as a mixture? I presume not. Because I think it's just something sitting on the lettuce. So to shake it off or to remove it off is not so much of a separation. It's a separation, but it's not a borer because they're not mixed together, so to say.
So can you squeeze the lettuce?
Presumably yes, because again, also this isn't schita. You're not squeezing anything from the lettuce. You're just getting things off the lettuce. I'll regulachas that's what I would say. Yeah, I think so. Unless something else comes to me, that I think that would be appropriate.
But it should not be squeezed over the place where the lettuce was sitting. You have to squeeze it over the sink or some other thing.
Well, I don't know if I would call this schita. I don't know. Extraction is that something is coming out from the lettuce. Nothing is coming out from the lettuce. It's just you're getting liquid that is on the lettuce off. I think it's, you know, even when we talk about these shlakos and the like, it's the liquid that's cooked into it. I'm trying to extract that which is within it, right? I don't know. This would be a world of vorer, let's say, that it's not a world of extraction. It's a world of separation. And then the question is the separation, if it's not really a tarov, it's not a mix, right? That would be the question. Okay. So now for our last question is, the last point is mashkin shezavu, liquids that just came out on their own. So this is much more common. Let's say I'm making a fruit salad on Shabbos and I'm cutting fruit, and on my cutting board I have excess juice. Am I allowed to drink that? We're not allowed to juice an orange, but I have excess orange juice on the board now. Am I allowed to enjoy that? So essentially, there's an Isser de Rabbanan on the books of when it comes to the liquid that comes out on its own, that you're not allowed to enjoy it or use it on Shabbos, because if you do that, maybe you'll actually come to squeeze out liquid on Shabbos. That being said, we only apply that to grapes and olives. So when cutting grapes, if there's a lot of excess oil, a lot of excess grape juice or the like on the cutting board, so that's not something a person should drink on Shabbos. And if you know that for sure you're going to have a lot of excess grape juice, it's probably better to even do it on a paper towel. But it's very, very unlikely. I've cut grapes on Shabbos. You usually do not end up with a lot of grape juice, so to say, on the board. But other fruits, if you're cutting them on a board, so it's okay to use that juice afterwards. Again, your intention can't be to, let me use the bluntest knife I have to make sure I really get some liquid out, right? That's not appropriate. I think that would go into this world of at least a Devar Sheino Miskaven. It might not be inevitable, but certainly is. It certainly might happen. And if that's your intention, it would be a problem. But ultimately, what that means is you have a bottom of a fruit bowl, all the extra excess juice, so that's okay. What if I have grapes in there? So there's some, you know, all the fruit's been sitting here together and some juice has been leaking to the bottom, and now I have grape juice and other juices in there. So we're not allowed to get the benefit from grapes, the juice itself, right? Even though it comes out on its own. So how do we treat that? So once it's mixed in, it's fine. Once it's mixed in, it's not part of this. And then I'll come to squeeze grapes. So it's okay. Okay. So is that clear so far? Everything? Okay, great. So, yes?
So in eating a grapefruit, is there any preference between having the grapefruit, I mean, to cut it in half, and then eat out the little sections? Which is going to create juice, yeah, and eating that juice.
Versus
peeling it and removing each of the little sections and taking all those pieces.
I think both are appropriate. First of all, it's not an issue of borer when separating, because the skins are also edible. It's something that's all part of the fruit itself. But in the world of extraction, I don't think it's any worse to sit there eating with a spoon, because unless you're sitting there squeezing to try to get the liquid, to only drink the liquid, in which case that's extraction. But at least when I eat a grapefruit that way, or used to, you know, sprinkle a little sugar on, nice. Maybe that's not as healthy. But when you're doing it, you're just trying to eat it. So anything that happens, any extra juice is totally appropriate. So I don't think there's any particular reason to do one over the other, at least not halachically. Whatever you enjoy more, you know? Okay. Oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is also a mitzvah. Okay, good question. It's brought down in Sunday modern Sfarim, actually. I guess it's a common thing in Israel, maybe, to have that almost as like an appetizer or the like to clear the palate, right? Okay, so let's go back to our first questions. I have a sore throat and I would like to drink hot water with lemon and honey on Shabbos. So we can't squeeze the lemon directly into it, right? Because you can't squeeze fruit except onto a solid. So can I cut the lemon over the liquid? The lemon slice will go in, but why am I cutting it over? To get those extra drops when I cut it, right? So I think that this goes, Jordan, to what you were saying in the start. I don't think it's appropriate, because your intention of doing this, you want the lemon slice. But if you just wanted the lemon slice, you would have cut it on a board and then put it into the tea. Why are you doing it? At least why would I do it? Because I want those extra few drops. Since I know I'm not allowed to squeeze on Shabbos, at least I'll get those extra few drops when cutting it. So I don't think that that's, I don't think it would be appropriate because it's clear the intention being, now if a person's doing it because they have no cutting board and this is the only way to cut it, you know, you cut a slice, maybe there's what to say, but usually the reason that a person's doing this is, well, I'll get those extra drops. So that's probably a person shouldn't do that. But lemaisa, you can cut a lemon and put a lemon slice in. But even once it's in, you can't squeeze it on the side, right? It's okay. The lemon juice still comes out. It still tastes good. Either that or squeeze some lemon juice before Shabbos. So that would be number one. Number two, so my wife doesn't like the extra oil in food to the point that she'll often dab some off. Are you allowed to squeeze out this excess oil from food or perhaps like what you brought up, tofu, to squeeze out the extra water to remove some of it, right? So is that okay? So what do we think?
As long as you're not doing anything with the oil you're squeezing out.
Right, exactly. I don't care for it. It's l'ibud. It's going to the garbage. It's not something I care for. It's just to benefit the actual food itself. So then, yeah, it would be appropriate. It's not schita. That's not extraction. Yeah, okay. So I think that about covers schita when it comes to peiros. Happens to be, again, this line that I saw. I forget if I saw in halacha or if I saw in pnimius, the hashkafa. But this idea of extraction being yotzer umolid davar chadash. When you extract, you're forming and creating something new. So again, when we talk about Shabbos, so the whole purpose of not doing malacha is because on a spiritual level, so much of this is being accomplished. And we don't have to work on the physical level to do all these things because again, as we start off in the beginning of the year, the physical work is actually a curse from Hashem. The Lama Tes Malachos, where the 39 curses given to Adam Rishon after he sinned in Gan Eden. So the Lama Tes Malachos were part of that whole B'zeyasa Fechatoy Chalechem, that you're going to have to go through the whole process of making bread, which is the process we're talking about here. It's a curse. It's not good. So on a physical level, the fact that we have to work that hard in this world, that's not the ideal, so to say. Again, it's the ideal because Hashem gave us a way to get back to Gan Eden to perfect ourselves, perfect the world. At least it wasn't ideal in as much as Hashem didn't create the world with those curses. But on a spiritual level, it's accomplished on Shabbos. So I just think on a spiritual level, the idea of forming something new. So when you take something and squeeze it, so it looks like it's undergoing so much pressure and it's uncomfortable and it's not something that looks good. But ultimately what comes out is something very chashuv, something very important, like what we talked about with the olives and the olives and the grapes, right? That which comes out is so much better even than the initial product itself. So when we go through a product, when we go through these moments of pressure, when we go through the pressure of the week or the pressure of life or the stresses of life, so ultimately Hashem is giving this to us in order to bring out something davar chadash, in order to bring out something new in our lives, something better. Right? Because when we go through this process, so ultimately it teaches us something more about ourselves and more about our relationship with the Rabbona Sholem. And hopefully that's something that we take into Shabbos with the realization of sitting back and say, wow, there was a lot of pressure, there was a lot of, you know, challenges, but I can look back at the week and try to see how that was forming and creating something new about me and my relationship. So I think it's just another takeaway from Schita, both on a halachic and a pnimius level. So, okay, Shreich, thank you.